The following program, The Russ Belleville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belleville Show are their own, and The Russ Belleville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. Of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belleville.
We love it. Good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. We made it to the weekend. It is Friday, May 17th, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the show. All sorts of great news and information to bring to you today, but unfortunately, I'm starting with a heavy heart today because one of my favorite presidents of all time, President James Earl Carter, Jimmy Carter, came out today in support of Project Sam and Kevin Sabet. Yes, I know. My esteem for the former president has dropped by about 80%. And we'll tell you all about that today in our radical rant. And I got some words for Jimmy Carter, some explanations. And God, I hope his good friend Willie Nelson gets in touch with him, too, and sets him straight. Also on today's show at half past, we got our Celeb Stoner Entertainment Report. Steve Bloom joins us from New York City. He's going to give us an update on what are now becoming the Ganja New York Jets. Yet another New York Jet was busted for marijuana possession. And we'll tell you all about that, plus the upcoming marijuana movies and other information that you need to know in the world of entertainment. Also on today's show, we're going to go behind the headlines because I found this article. It was forwarded to me by a friend of mine from NBC News, from Robert DuPont, writing for UT San Diego, trying to blame the Boston bombing on marijuana use. We're going to take a look at his reasoning behind that, and then I'm going to go behind those headlines and look some stuff up, look some statistics up that provides a better view of this hypothesis that marijuana may have led to the bombings. You'll just have to tune in and catch that. It's just an amazing, amazing bit of reefer madness from Robert DuPont, or rent seeking. One or the other. Also on today's show, it's time for our Daily Toker Tunes Rockin' Friday. That means Herb Thrasher is going to join us. He's got some great music for us from Super Machine. And then later tonight, 8 o'clock tonight, 2 hours of metal and sports and rock and talk with the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. We'll be right here. We hope you join us live at 8 p.m. But before we all get to all of that, we have to get to our 420 radio news. And in the headlines today, we've got Illinois becoming the 20th medical marijuana state. We've got the 46 pages of rules released by Washington State for their marijuana legalization. We'll give you the headline on President Carter, a new poll from Reason Magazine on punishing marijuana smokers, and an estimate for licensed marijuana dispensaries right here in the state of Oregon. All that coming up on The Russ Belleville Show.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belleville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I'm Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger. At TGAGenetics.com, we are working on the leading edge of medical strains. Our strains are rigorously tested for THC, CBD, THCV, and other critical cannabinoids. Know your grow. Check out our genetic diversity at TGAGenetics.com. the home of Jelly Bean, Jack the Ripper, Vortex, and other award-winning cannabis strains.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, home of the famous lighter leash. Herb Age Designs, get your Herb Age t-shirts and hoodies and show your pride. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter. We'll see you at this year's Hemp Fest. Crank it up!
This is your 420 Radio News for Friday, May 17th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. Illinois Senate approves medical marijuana bill from the Chicago Tribune. The Senate today approved legislation that would allow doctors to prescribe medical marijuana to patients with serious illnesses, sending the measure to Governor Pat Quinn. Sponsoring Senator Bill Hain, Democrat of Alton, argued the measure is one of the toughest in the nation. Hain said his bill does not reflect other states that have, quote, sloppily instituted medical marijuana laws, end quote. The proposal would create a four-year trial program in which doctors could prescribe patients no more than 2.5 ounces of marijuana every 2 weeks. To qualify, patients must have one of 33 serious or chronic conditions, including cancer, multiple sclerosis, or HIV, and an established relationship with a doctor. Patients would undergo fingerprinting and a criminal background check and would be banned from using marijuana in public and around minors. Patients also could not legally grow marijuana, and they would have to buy it from one of 60 dispensing centers across Illinois. The state would license 22 growers. Pot growing, sales, and use. Washington State proposes 46 pages of rules from the Seattle Times. Washington residents and out-of-staters could buy an ounce of marijuana 7 days a week up to 20 hours a day in visits to state-regulated stores under draft rules for a new legal pot system released Thursday by the Liquor Control Board. But Washington State would not allow the sale of marijuana concentrates, such as hash or hash oil, unless they were infused in edible or liquid products. Washington's 46-page raft of rules covers issues from product testing to growing licenses to advertising restrictions to package labeling. The draft rules would allow sun-grown pot in greenhouses with rigid walls, a roof, and doors, but not open fields. And they would not cap the number of growing licenses issued by the state in an effort to include smaller growers in a seed-to-store system untested on the planet. Washington's new system allows adults to possess 1 ounce of dried marijuana, 1 pound of pot-infused edibles, and 72 ounces of pot-laced liquid. Under proposed rules, the state would not track a person's pot purchases or know how many stores they visit in a day. Other proposed rules include uniform testing standards by independent accredited labs, consumers will know the contents and potency of products they buy, advertising will be restricted near schools and areas where children are prevalent, background checks for license applicants and financiers. Certain criminal convictions, such as non-marijuana felonies in the last 10 years, would exclude applicants. And strict security and surveillance, as well as tracking systems for products, would be required. President Carter opposes marijuana legalization, supports Project SAM, from learnaboutsam.com. At a meeting with state legislators in Atlanta, Georgia today, former U.S. President Jimmy Carter said the dichotomy of punishment versus rehabilitation oversimplifies the use of the issue of marijuana legalization. He said he worries about legal marijuana being marketed to kids, presumes marijuana revenues will be outweighed by the cost of abuse, and favors arrests for users that lead to treatment, assessments, and warning hearings. Only 6% of Americans think marijuana possession should be punished with jail time, from Reason.com. Only 6% of Americans think minor marijuana possession should be punishable by jail time, according to a new Reason Roop poll. The poll also found that a strong plurality of Americans think the use or possession of small amounts of marijuana should not be punishable at all. When asked, quote,
Which approach do you think government and law enforcement should take towards someone found smoking marijuana or in possession of small amounts of marijuana? 6% of respondents said possession should be punishable with jail. 20% said it should result in mandatory substance abuse counseling. 32% said users should incur a fine. And 35% of respondents said people caught with small amounts of marijuana should not be punished at all. Licensed marijuana dispensaries expected to generate $900,000 under Oregon bill, from OregonLive.com. Oregon would be home to an estimated 225 state-licensed medical marijuana retailers in the next 2 years if lawmakers pass a bill that would legalize such establishments, according to a state analysis. Medical marijuana retailers would pay $4,000 a year to maintain their state registrations, generating an estimated $900,000 in the next 2 years, analysts with the Legislative Fiscal Office concluded. The bill would prohibit medical marijuana retail outlets from operating within 1,000 feet of each other or a school. They would have to operate in agricultural, industrial, or commercial areas. This has been your 420 Radio News for Friday, May 17th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we go behind the headlines and take a look at a recent article by Robert DuPont of DuPont Benzinger & Associates, where he seems to blame the Boston bombings on the marijuana use of one of the bombers. We'll take you through the logic trail that brought you that conclusion when we come back. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org.
Stuff today. I got real good stuff.
Cali Mist. It's a sativa. Misty feeling. You know what I'm talking about.
And then I also got this right here.
I got this cashmere cream. It's an indica. It's going to keep you in your seat all day like a good Led Zeppelin album. Like cashmere. So, what's it going to be?
Take the sativa, oh, man.
What the fuck?
Yeah, man.
Let your creative juices go. Go with the sativa.
Cool.
You don't want to be no couch potato. I'll take a potato if you're going to the kitchen,
what
man.
Holy.
Hey, listen, you want to go with the indica strain, man. Just chill.
Hey, what? You want to get high, not stoned. Come on now. Go with the sativa.
No, you need to just chill.
Are you supposed to be the devil? Aren't you supposed to be the devil?
Oh, shit. What?
And aren't you supposed to be like tiny and on my shoulder? Just
we ain't got the budget for that. Who you think we are, James Cameron? Come on, baby.
I'm sorry. I was just thinking about baby ducks.
You really want to be like that for 2 hours?
Let him choose for himself, bro.
See, this is why I can't. That's why I can't deal with you. Sometimes I wish I could just grab you and just snap your goddamn neck.
Hey. Hey, man.
Holy sh...
Dude.
What the...
I got other people to see, man.
A little of both, I guess, please.
All right. I can do that. That's cool.
Hey, do you have any mushrooms by any chance?
Hell yeah, I got mushrooms. I got acid too, man.
If we're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana and the next thing you know, they got 10 years, they've got mandatory sentences, and these judges just say, they throw up their hands and say, there's nothing we can do, there's mandatory sentences. We've got to take a look at what we're considering crimes.
When the Reverend Pat Robertson from television's The 700 Club...
criminalizing marijuana, criminalizing the possession of a few ounces of pot and that kind of thing, I mean, it's just...
makes more sense on the marijuana issue than the President, the Congress and the Supreme Court.
It's costing us a fortune, and it's ruining young people. Young people go into prisons, they come out, they go in as youths, and they come out as hardened criminals, and it's not a good thing.
You know we're winning.
Welcome back. 15 after the hour, time for us to go behind the headlines. And I got this article that was written by Robert L. DuPont. And he's one of the principals in the firm Benzinger, DuPont and Associates, which just happens to be a major purveyor of drug testing management in America. And he wrote this article in regard to the Boston Marathon bombings that took place, this tragic and heinous terrorist act, this awful crime that killed and maimed Americans and was seemingly conducted by these two brothers, the Tsarnaev brothers, the older brother, and then the younger brother, Jahar, who was a college student at the time. And the reason for the terror, the reason for the attack, according to Robert DuPont, is that marijuana turned that bright young student into a terrorist. Let me just read you from his article word for word. Quote, "One of the most striking and consistent observations about Jahar, as he was commonly known to his friends, was that he was a normal college kid. Evidence of his normality was his heavy marijuana use as a party boy. Less recognized among his friends was the academic trajectory of Jahar in college, including receiving failing grades over three consecutive semesters. While Jahar's marijuana use did not directly make him a terrorist, it closed the door to his dreams of being an engineer or physician, and it opened the door to his suicidal violence." Marijuana killed his dreams and made it possible for him to become a terrorist. Okay. As he goes on in this article, DuPont laments the endemic use of marijuana in America's colleges and the inflated rates of dropout in America's high schools. So, you know me, I thought it might be fun to look those figures up and do a little compare and contrast. Now, I picked six different data points, each 6 years apart. 1979, 85, 91, 97, and 2003 and 2009. We looked up the high school dropout rate, the black high school dropout rate, and the college graduation rates from the U.S. Department of Education. Then I compared and contrasted those with the monthly marijuana use rates of 12 to 17-year-olds and 18 to 25-year-olds from the National Survey on Drug Use and Health. Now, the high school dropout data only go back to 1990. But I can tell you in 1979, 16.8% of teenagers, 12 to 17, were smoking pot every month, and 35.3% of 18 to 25-year-olds, college-age kids. By 1985, the teenage rate had dropped to 11.9%, and the college-age rate dropped to 21.9%, and by the time we hit 1991, only 4.3% of teenagers and 13% of college-age kids are smoking marijuana. The dropout rates in those years were 12.1% for high school kids and 13.2% for black high school kids. Now, as we jump ahead 6 years to 1997, the monthly marijuana use doubles by high school kids. It goes from 4.3 to 9.4. Among the college kids, it drops slightly, from 13% to 12.8, but let's just say it stayed the same, pretty close, right? So doubled among teenagers, stayed about the same among college kids. What happened to the high school dropout rate? It dropped, or basically stayed the same. 11.8% in 1997, 13.8% for the black kids, went up slightly. Then in 2003, the monthly marijuana use rate among teens drops to 8%, but that's still twice as much as it was in 1991. And rises to 17.2% for the 18 to 25-year-olds, and the high school dropout rate drops to 9.9, 10.9 among the black kids. So twice as much monthly marijuana use among teenagers, 3 percentage points lower in the dropout rate. And then by 2009, we've got 7.2%. Now, that means the teenage rate's been dropping from 9.4 to 8.0, now down to 7.2. The monthly marijuana use rate has dropped, and so has high school dropout rate down to 8.1. The monthly college use rate has gone up to 18.6 by 2009. Now let's look at the college graduation rates, because remember, smoking the marijuana is going to kill your dreams of being an engineer or a physician. So when we look at those college graduation rates, we find that in 96, they were 33.7%. And then in 2003,
after the college age use went up by 5 points, the college graduation rates went up by 3 points. So can you guess what DuPont's solution is for this? He asks, what if Jahar had been required to take drug tests to obtain and maintain a driver's license? Might that have changed his behavior? Of course! When you run one of the country's largest drug testing firms, the answer to any problem is drug test them. Speaking of drug tests, we got to take one right now. Let's see how high we can get our nanograms. I'll be right back.
Talking to that reefer man.
Have you considered medical marijuana? Double-blind, peer-reviewed studies have found cannabinoid therapies to be successful in treating the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease, ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease, brain cancer, chronic pain, diabetes mellitus, dystonia, fibromyalgia, GI disorders, hepatitis C, HIV/AIDS, hypertension, incontinence, MRSA, multiple sclerosis, osteoporosis, pruritus, rheumatoid arthritis, sleep apnea, and Tourette's syndrome, as well as anecdotal evidence in suggesting relief from anxiety, depression, and post-traumatic stress, plus reduction in the need for narcotic painkillers. Side effects from medical marijuana can include euphoria, relaxation, anxiety, panic reaction, paranoia, tachycardia, dry eyes, dry mouth, concentration and reaction time impairments, appetite increase, and in some U.S. states, arrest and incarceration. But medical marijuana is non-toxic and cannot cause overdose. Medical marijuana, it's not for everyone, but ask your doctor if medical marijuana may be right for you.
Big Daddy thinks.
Oh yeah, this is Big Daddy, and I'll be your freakazoid every Thursday night, right here at the Funky Roller Rink.
Funky Roller Rink.
11 Eastern, 8 Pacific.
Funky Roller Rink.
I like it, I like it.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Rockin' Friday, featuring rock, metal, and the hard edge of alternative country. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We got Herb Thrasher on the line here. I didn't have my Skype loaded, so I had to do this on the fly, Herb. Sorry about that.
Uh-huh, see? I knew it was you and not me.
Yeah, it couldn't have possibly been you. You're made of metal.
That's right. That's exactly right, man.
Hey, I understand that before we get into the song, that we're close to an anniversary here, Ronnie James Dio. Is that right?
3 years, man. 3 years ago yesterday, he passed away to cancer. He fought long and hard, and came to cancer, and now as we speak, three years later, I mean, he's starting to get many friends up there to visit him.
Yeah, I have a feeling I know what we're going to be playing on Herb Thrasher tonight.
We're definitely going to have a Ronnie James Dio classic, and I actually picked a classic song that wasn't even released under a Deep Purple name or a Black Sabbath name, or a Ronnie James Dio name. And so I'm real excited to play this treasure of a song.
All right, we'll do that at 8 o'clock tonight. Join us every Friday night, 8 to 10 Pacific time, for the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. We talk rock, we talk sports, we get interviews, have a lot of fun, so check it out. So today we got a great tune, and we played some of this last week on the Flower Hour as well.
We did, man. I'm really loving these guys. You know, rock and roll is a good thing. It's always going to be here to stay. And, you know, through many years, we've had many kind of music branch off, where you have heavy metal, whether you have bluegrass, whatever. But rock and roll has always been a core. And when you have a band who pretty much plays rock and roll like it's supposed to be, you got to support them. And we have Super Machine. These guys are out of Portsmouth, New Hampshire. And they're on Small Stone Records. We play a lot of Small Stone Records music. They have such a great vibe of artists. And Super Machine is one of these guys. And they have a self-titled album, Super Machine, that came out earlier on in the year. And this particular track is called Pill Cruise. And very heavy starting out. You guys can hear the rock and roll. They have a lot of sludge-heavy hooks and a lot of riffs and monstrous, like, bass lines and just really a lot of melodies and real true grit to this band. And you guys might, if you've paid attention through the years, you guys might remember a band called Scissor Fight.
Yeah.
And two of the members, Jay Fortin, who is a guitar player, and Paul Jarvis, the bass player, they were founders of Scissor Fight. And Scissor Fight went their separate ways maybe 4 or 5 years. And now this is one of the beginnings of a new band that we have, and it's called Super Machine. And drums is Mike McNeil, and vocals is Dave Nebbia. And you guys can check them out on Facebook. They have a Super Machine band page, and they also have a Reverb Nation Bandcamp page, and they're also on the Small Stone Records website. And so go out there and check them out. Support rock and roll for sure, and we'll definitely see you guys tonight, Herb Thrasher Flower Hour at 8 o'clock on 420radio.org. Appreciate all the support you guys do, and be safe out there, folks. Turn it up.
Dave's not here.
Open up the door, it's Dave.
Who?
Dave, D-A-V-E. Will you open up the goddamn
Dave?
Door? Yeah, Dave.
Dave?
Right, man, Dave. Now, will you open up the door?
Dave's not here.
On the road again.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. France, it's time we legalize the responsible use of marijuana and stop treating marijuana smokers like criminals. We're destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of good, hardworking Americans every year in this country for no good reason. There's absolutely nothing wrong with smoking pot. For more information on how you can help legalize marijuana, please contact Normal at NORML.org.
The world of entertainment includes many actors, musicians, athletes, and celebrities who find their way into the world of weed. The Russ Belleville Show catches you up with the latest with Steve Bloom and the CelebStoner.com Entertainment Report.
All right, welcome back, everybody. 31 after the hour. Got a lot of stuff to talk to Steve Bloom about today. Most recently, I saw a story about the New York Jets. Now, a previous report had Cliff Harris and another one of the players from the Jets getting busted and dismissed from the team, I believe. But now we've got another report of a New York Jet who's been busted for marijuana. Steve, are you there?
I am here.
Hey, what's going on with the Jets, man? Looks like you're all smoking weed out there in New York.
Yeah, I know. Well, this guy, he's a new guy. Mike Goodson got arrested early this morning, pulled over on a highway in New Jersey. The car was stopped for some reason on the left side of the road or on a shoulder. A tow truck saw.
Still there, Steve? Having some difficulty with the connection, I think, here. Yeah, dropped it. Dropped the connection. Okay, you might be having some cell phone difficulties out there, but we'll go on to this story about this these New York Jets here. The car is pulled over on the side of the road. The tow truck driver sees it just sitting there. And, you know, this reminds me of a story that we covered just a little while ago when there was a car that was just parked right there in the middle of the road and, you know, trying to understand why the guys were just sitting there. So, Steve, did we get you back there?
Yeah, I'm back.
Sorry about that.
Sorry about
that.
Call me on my landline next time. Anyway, okay. This guy, Mike Goodson, he got arrested last night. Now, he's a new guy on the Jets. It'll be very interesting because the two Jets got arrested a couple of weeks ago, and they were marginal players who were immediately cut by the team. This guy is not a marginal player. I mean, he's sort of borderline marginal, but he was a guy that the Jets paid, you know, just gave a three-year contract to. You know, the Jets are retooling their running backs. They brought him in from Oakland. He's a guy who would play for Carolina for a few years. You know, not a famous player, but I think the Jets just feel like they needed, you know, some new guys. They brought in a couple of new runners. So I think the question will be with him is, are they going to cut him too? You know, here's a guy they invested some money in. I doubt they're going to cut him so fast. So it's kind of interesting. Guys who they have less investment in, they cut. Guys who they have an investment in, they'll probably keep around. So marijuana, you know, they cut you when they don't need you.
Yeah.
You know, when they're, you know, when the checks and balances don't work, you know, and so they let you go. So I have a feeling this guy's not going to get cut so fast.
Yeah, we'll have to pay attention on that one. The other area of sports where I've been seeing a lot of stories involving marijuana is mixed martial arts, specifically the UFC. Pat Healy just lost like $130,000 for smoking pot.
Yeah, I mean, he's actually the third guy in the last, say, few months who's had problems with the UFC. Robbie Peralta got suspended recently. Matt Riddle was thrown off of the UFC for his second failed marijuana test. Now, Matt didn't apologize. Peralta did, and so did Healy. Healy's thing is, I made a very poor choice to socially use marijuana. It's such a funny thing. Oh, it's poor choice. Okay, the joint came by and he didn't say no.
Yeah.
You know, it was a poor choice. So now, in his case, he hasn't been suspended by the UFC. He's been suspended by the State of New Jersey Athletic Board.
Uh-huh.
And they docked him $130,000 from the victory that he had. So the victory he had after he failed the test, which was back in March in Newark. So it happened in New Jersey. Jersey. They stripped him of that, made it a no contest. Then he had $130,000 worth of bonuses that he goes with winning. He was stripped of that. But the UFC has not ruled on him yet. Interestingly, I read an article this morning that they may be changing the amount that right now they're getting people for, say, 15 nanograms, and they may raise it to 50. So they may change it because they realize that, you know, too many of these guys are falling into the net, so to speak, and they're losing a lot of, you know, good fighters, you know, just because of marijuana, which is obviously not a performance-enhancing drug, yet it's sort of considered so, you know, within the worlds of athletics because it's illegal. So, so you know, it's an area that might change because the UFC is going through, you know, so many of the fighters are getting caught in this.
Yeah, and the World Anti-Doping Agency just raised its limit from 15 nanograms to 150. What do you think about, you mentioned that, you know, this first fighter is Healy. It was the New Jersey State Athletic Commission, and a lot of, you know, fight sports have to do with state athletic commissions. Nevada is one that I think of, and California, you know. Is this going to be any pressure for them to raise their limits?
I would think so. You know, I think across the board, you know, I'm not that familiar with the UFC, but I would think, you know, if they want to keep these guys out there, they're going to keep losing guys. Now, why so many of the UFC guys are using marijuana is unclear. I mean, obviously, you know, they're boxers, they're fighters. They're beat up, and I couldn't barely find a shot of Pat Healy to post on the website without him bleeding, you know, his face and, you know, a mess. And, you know, these guys get hurt, you know, and so they need some medical attention after these fights. And I guess marijuana seems to be helping them. I mean, especially, you know, Matt Riddle, who has a medical marijuana card in Nevada. So some of these guys really believe in it. Diaz, the fighter, Nick Diaz, he's another guy who has a marijuana card in California. So this has been an ongoing issue within the UFC for a while. I think they have to deal with it.
Yeah, and another big story, and I saw your Celeb Stoner blog getting shout-outs all across the media on this, was Tommy Chong's announcement that he's cancer-free, apparently, I mean, his own blog right there on Celeb Stoner.
Yeah, you know, actually, because Tommy blogs for Celeb Stoner, what Tommy does is, you know, I'll send him a query about something, especially, you know, once he, you know, announced he had prostate cancer last year, you know, it was really kind of a big story, you know, to, you know, make sure, you know, see how he's doing it. And also, you know, Tommy made a big point when he announced that he had cancer, that he was going to be using a therapy involving hemp or hash oil, the Rick Simpson oil, the Phoenix Tears, kind of controversial, you know, method to recuperate from cancer. But he said that's going to be the main thing. And then he found that it really wasn't working for him. So he kind of mixed it up. You know, he used a bunch of different therapies that he says have worked for him. He called his high frequency treatment, things like that. You know, he said he went to Mexico for $25,000. So basically he had a statement that he had made in some interview that he had kicked cancer. So I wrote him a note saying, you know, can you tell me a little bit more about that? And that's what he wrote back. So when Tommy writes back to me, I turn it into a blog, which is approved by him. And he has a blog spot at Celeb Stoner. So this was, you know, breaking that story. And it did get picked up all over the place, which to my big surprise, I mean, the UK Guardian picked it up, and then it kind of went all over the place. The Hollywood Reporter picked it up, you know, the InfoWars and different places like Blacklisted News, all kinds of conspiracy sites picked it up. So, I mean, I'm happy to see that because they're taking something that's exclusive, you know, that's not just something that we grab off the web and just do it, you know, do our spin on it, but it's actually an exclusive from Celeb Stoner. So hopefully we'll do more of that. But specifically, you know, we're sticking with this story, and hopefully Tommy is healthy and it doesn't come back.
Yeah, folks, you can read that at celebstoner.com. Just scroll down to the blogs. You'll find Tommy Chong, I'm Cancer Free, as well as memorialization of drug crazy author Mike Gray. We spoke about him. He'd been on our show four or five times, and we all miss Mike Gray. Lots of stories here on Celeb Stoner. I don't even not know which one to even jump into next. What are some of your favorites lately?
Well, that's a tough one. Let me take a quick look at the home page.
Well, there's the Patrick Dempsey story, you know, up here in Washington is something.
Yeah, the Patrick Dempsey is kind of an interesting story because, you know, the actor Patrick Dempsey, who was on Grey's Anatomy, was Mr. Dr. McDreamy, you know, he's a handsome guy. He recently took $9 million of his own dollars and bought the Tully's coffee chain in Seattle, which has 47 stores. I don't know if it's just in Seattle, but it's in the Northwest. And, you know, it's kind of a Starbucks. And the chain has not been doing well, and so they needed an influx of money, and he outbid Starbucks and a bunch of other big companies. You know, he was just an actor, you know, with his own money. I guess he's made a lot of money in his career, took $9 million, put it into this, and now what he was quoted in Bon Appetit, or Bon Appetit, as we like to say, and he's saying that, you know, kind of hint, you know, here's an opportunity, you know, with these stores, you know, to sell a little bit more than coffee. And he says, you could present it in a beautiful, elegant way, a Michelin-starred coffee shop where you can get marijuana. And he goes, coffee is good for your mind. It's basically a legalized drug. The next step is selling marijuana, of course. So it's kind of a pretty big hint that that's the direction he would like to take his stores in. I don't know if they'll allow that, but, you know, coffee and weed, pretty good combination to me, you know?
Yeah, I don't know if we'll be able to keep Rob Cantrell out of the place.
I know, he stole his song title.
You know, the other, you've always got great reviews up there on celebstoner.com as well. I had heard a quote recently about Anthony Bourdain saying everybody smokes after work or something like that. And you've got a review of High in Morocco. What's up with Anthony Bourdain?
Well, you know, Bourdain, you know, is a guy who, you know, most people know Bourdain is the is a chef who has his travel adventure foodie show, which was No Reservations for 8 seasons on the Travel Channel. And then he just moved over to CNN that picked him up. And now it's the new show is renamed Parts Unknown. And he more or less does the same thing. He goes to places that, you know, are a little bit rough. You know, might have some political intrigue, you know, going on, like a place like Colombia, or he's going to be in Libya this week, or in the next show. And then of course he goes around and samples the food, you know, and does it sort of down and dirty style. He'll eat at the highest end restaurant and then he'll eat at the food carts. So his latest episode was he went to Morocco, and, you know, fans of Bourdain have always looked for drug references because he likes to pepper in drug references, because Bourdain's a guy who did it all. You know, he did hard drugs. I think addiction problems with cocaine, and I'm not sure how hard it went beyond that, but you know, he's pretty much admitted to that. So he's kind of a guy who's not really doing much of that these days, or at least not saying so publicly, because I think his public profile is that he's sober, but he likes to sort of play around with the drug issue because it's something that he's very familiar with. And so he goes to Tangier, and Tangier is sort of where William Burroughs had, you know, set up shop for many years, wrote Naked Lunch and built the whole story of Naked Lunch around, you know, around Tangier. And so he goes to Tangier, and he's kind of channeling Burroughs, you know, here I am, you know, in the place where Burroughs, you know, wrote his greatest work. And so he talks a lot about hash. There's the making of Majun, which is a combination of hash and sweetened nuts and chocolate and different things like that. It's sort of like one of the original edibles, but he hides behind, you know, not being able to do any of this stuff on the show because, you know, hint, you know, I'd like to, but I can't. And so there's a little level of disappointment that he's moved over to CNN, but he's still kind of shackled in the same way he was when he was on the Travel Channel. He really has to kind of hide and censor himself. So he couldn't, you know, sit down in a shop there and puff some hash with the locals, you know, even though it sounded like he really wanted to, or he did, but it wasn't on camera. So it's a little disappointment, even though it's a fun show, you know, it's a lot of wink, wink, nod, nod, but I can't really do this because I'm on CNN, you know, which leads me to think that maybe he should have taken his act to premium cable and maybe gone to HBO or Showtime, where he really could do what he wants.
Yeah, maybe so that's the next step.
But it was a very good show, and, you know, people love Bourdain, and every time I post anything on Bourdain, there's a lot of interest. So he's kind of like an underground cult hero.
Absolutely.
He's kind of above ground, but I don't think, you know, in the marijuana world, he's really known, you know, as a marijuana activist, and he's never really spoken about it very directly. You know, it'd be interesting to see what he'd say in an interview. He'd probably be very cynical about a lot of stuff, but you know, he's probably on our side.
Yeah, I would think so. And Steve Bloom, the editor of celebstoner.com, the author of Pot Culture and Reefer Movie Madness. Do we got any new events or books or things you need to get out there for our listeners to know about?
No, not right now. You know, just sticking by, you know, staying in New York. You know, we had the marijuana rally here back in, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and there's not really that much, you know, around here. I mean, we are hyping different events that are upcoming. You know, there's a
Treating Yourself in Toronto. There's HempCon in LA. There's a Normal Legal Seminar coming up in Aspen. There's the Cheryl Miller Memorial Protest in New Jersey or in Trenton. So we're kind of keeping an eye on all those things. We're kind of staying pretty close to home, but most likely I'll be out in Seattle for the Hemp Fest this summer.
All right. We'll see you in Seattle for the Hemp Fest. Steve Bloom, celebstoner.com. Thanks for joining us here for an entertainment report. We appreciate it. And next time, we'll call on the landline. That's what we'll do. All right, folks, when we come back, my disappointment with former President Jimmy Carter.
Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Normal stands for responsible adult cannabis use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks are far less than those posed by legal drugs.
Respect the law, but know your rights. And share if you can.
Ask me any question, I'm gonna plead the fifth. Unless you asking me if I wanna smoke a spliff, then I'll be coming over, I'm gonna take a leave. You know I leave you feeling like you got a touch of the gift.
Yeah, this is Brian the Red, and you're listening to 420radio.org. So get a little airy.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
All right, we already briefly went over this in the headlines. That is the crowing coming from Kevin Sabet and Project Sam, in that they recently had a meeting in Atlanta, Georgia, where President Jimmy Carter gave a full-throated endorsement of Project Sam. And this was in a meeting that was attended by legislators and regulators from Colorado, Washington, and the states targeted for legalization in 2016. So this is a... big warning. And folks, you know, I got some criticism from people when I started the whole Project Samuel thing and focusing on Sabet and all this. You don't want to give this guy more attention. You don't want to make him seem more legit. And I said, folks, what I yell about over here is not going to make a hill of beans to, you know, how important he is. He's already got the contacts within the ONDCP. I mean, that train has already left the station. But I was trying to point out to people, this guy is dangerous. And my detractors would say, you know, don't give him more legitimacy than he really has. Don't, you know, don't give any credence to his arguments by arguing against him. And I just had to point out that this guy is dangerous because he has a way of presenting these arguments to people who are on the fence about marijuana legalization. People who think that prohibition is bad, but aren't so sure that marijuana is good. He has an insidious way of getting into their heads and coming up with ways of twisting the marijuana issue and making them support what he advocates. And it has happened now to one of my most respected statesmen in American history, President Jimmy Carter. I know a lot of people don't... think Jimmy Carter did a great job in office, but didn't get any of our troops killed for 4 years. That is something. But anyway, former President Jimmy Carter, and this is what's so scary about this, is because back in, well, when was this? December. Back in December, President Carter was appearing at a CNN forum. This was just this December, a month after Colorado and Washington had passed legalization. President Carter was asked by CNN's Suzanne Malveaux if he was in favor of states that were taking steps to legalize marijuana. And Carter said, quote, "I think it's okay. I don't think it's going to happen in Georgia yet, but I think we can watch and see what happens in the state of Washington, for instance, around Seattle, and let the American government and let the American people see, does it cause a serious problem or not?" And Carter, speaking about the issues of an anti-drug system focused on enforcement, you know, arrests, Carter suggested that large incarceration rates, especially among minorities, were being perpetuated by harsh punishments for marijuana possession. Quote, "It's a major step backward, and it ought to be reversed, not only in America, but around the world," Carter argued, later going on to say that nations such as Portugal, which decriminalized all drugs in 2000, could be a model for the United States to look toward in the future. Speaking earlier this year, and that would be referring to earlier in 2012, Carter accused U.S. drug policy of having, quote, "destroyed the lives of millions of young people," end quote. So, and of course, we can always go back to Carter when he was actually president, arguing for decriminalization of marijuana, saying that the penalties and punishment for the use of a drug should not be more harmful than the use of the drug itself. Well, Carter has been flipped. Carter's been flipped by Pat Kennedy, Patrick J. Kennedy, and Kevin Sabet there. And here is his latest statement. Quote, "I do not favor legalization. We must do everything we can to discourage marijuana use, as we do now with tobacco and excessive drinking. We must do everything we can to discourage marijuana use, as we do now with tobacco and excessive drinking," end quote. Interesting, is it not, that it's just excessive drinking that's the problem? Drinking a little is okay. Having a six-pack every night would be okay. Having a drink at the bar at happy hour after work, that would be okay. But smoking a joint at home on the weekend cannot be allowed. President Carter, you've lost your mind. So he also says, quote, "We have to prevent making marijuana smoking from becoming attractive to young people, which is, I'm sure, what the producers of marijuana are going to try to do," end quote. Oh, President Carter, have you seen a Lady Gaga concert or a Rihanna concert or a rap concert? It is not the makers of marijuana that have to do a damn thing to make marijuana smoking attractive to young people. Popular culture has done that already. In fact, the proposals in Colorado and Washington have strict, or they're proposing strict regulations to curb the advertising, to make sure that it isn't pushed toward kids. There would be less attractive advertising toward kids under a regulatory regime than there would under what we've got now, where it's prohibited and it has a forbidden fruit aspect to it, where the pop stars of the day can add a little street cred to their image by showing a marijuana leaf or puffing on a blunt. All right, let me get to another quote here. Carter said, quote, "I hope that Colorado and Washington, as you authorize the use of marijuana, will set up very strict experiments to ascertain how we can avoid the use of marijuana." How we can avoid the use of marijuana. "There should be no advertising for marijuana in any circumstances and no driving under the influence. We need to avoid the use of marijuana, particularly among young people. But moderate drinking's okay. You can go ahead and drink a little. It's only excessive drinking that we have to worry about." So, Carter said at the Friday meeting that he believes arrests for marijuana should be in place and result in a warning hearing, treatment, and screening. So he's endorsing the whole Project Sam, you know, force him into rehab, get Dr. Thurstone some more clients model. Arrests for marijuana should be in place. Now, how does this jibe, President Carter, with your previous remarks last year about the disproportionate impact of prohibition against people of color and people of low means like myself? doesn't really, does it? The problem we've got here, President Carter, is that you have been fooled by this big tobacco, big marijuana argument of Patrick Kennedy's. You have been fooled into thinking that the legalization of marijuana presents a greater opportunity, greater harm, greater marketing to young people than keeping it illegal. When you say that you favor arresting me and forcing me into a warning hearing, treatment and supervision and drug tests, what do you think happens when I don't agree to go to that? What do you think happens when I fail that P test? It's jail, President Carter. It's the same exact jail that you opposed putting people in for marijuana since 1975. You cannot enforce a rehab without having a consequence of jail. It's just not going to happen. It's not in any of these Project Sam proposals. And again, why is it that the guy who has two shots of Jim Beam at the bar every night after work is deemed to be okay in society to continue living his life without the threat of forced rehab and P-tests, but not for me? President Carter, I would encourage you to stop listening to these ideologues. First of all, understand that they are beholden to the substance abuse rehab industry. This is part of their marketing strategy. This is part of their overall business plan to ensure the flow of dollars when the arrest for people illegally using marijuana goes away. Let us legalize. Let legalization happen. And let the regulation take place, and let us show you how this is going to work. I'm just so disappointed in President Carter with this. And the Learn About Sam page on this, of course, is crowing of his support for all of their all aspects of the Project Sam agenda. He says, let's see if I can get to this other. I'm very proud of Patrick Kennedy and his Project Sam, Smart Approaches to Marijuana, the former president said. I wish him and Kevin Sabet every success in your independent project to make sure marijuana is handled responsibly. What is responsible about allowing Mexican cartels to continue to run our marijuana market? What is responsible about declaring that relapse is a crime and deserves being put into jail? What is responsible about treating productive, good citizens, hardworking people, and people who have medical issues using marijuana for their medical benefit? What makes any sense about that? How is that handling marijuana responsibly? It is the most irresponsible thing on the planet to have prohibition. It is the ceding of control of the market of marijuana to the worst possible actors, the ones that won't obey laws. When asked about the decriminalization of marijuana use by Washington State, Mr. Carter said he believes arrests for marijuana should be in place. I said this 35 years ago, this is Carter's quote, that I didn't want to make it so that a person could possess or smoke marijuana with impunity, but that they could be chastised, offered treatment, etc. End quote. Well, I guess you can take the Bible Belt Southern moralist out of the Bible Belt, but you can't take the Bible Belt Southern moralizing out of him, can you? Oh, President Carter. Damn. And I used to defend you so much. Oh, well. We'll talk more about this in Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. Take a seat, you're planning, you're growing, you're growing.